A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
This is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. In this trade deadline edition episode of the Spurs Cast, I will be recapping the moves the San Antonio Spurs made at the trade deadline, and then also their options going forward for the remainder of the season, and then an early look ahead to the offseason for San Antonio. So for the Spurs, it was a very quiet trade deadline day right until the last few minutes of the deadline is when they finally made a move. And so let's go and do a quick recap of how this day began. So throughout the day Thursday, it was relatively quiet, like I mentioned, for San Antonio. They actually put out their injury report for their game against Orlando on Wednesday out fairly early. And on that injury report, none of these Spurs players that had been mentioned in rumors, Doug McDermott, Jetty Osman, or Devontae Graham, none of those players were on the injury report. So going into this game against Orlando, it looked like, you know, they're going to have those three players available. You know, normally if maybe a trade's on the horizon, they might put the players out with injury, or they might just write not with team. And so again, so going into that injury report on Thursday morning, it looked like, you know, hey, everyone's going to be available. Maybe no one's going to get moved. You know, as time kept going on throughout the day Thursday, where I live, the trade deadline is 1 o'clock p.m. Mountain time. So the last injury report I could check was a 12:30 injury report. So I look at the 12:30 injury report, and sure enough, no changes. None of the Spurs players who might get traded were on that injury report. So I was like, okay, you know, 30 minutes left for the deadline to end. Maybe the Spurs are going to make it through this deadline without any trades. Well, nope. Within like the last 20 minutes, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reported that the Spurs had agreed to a deal with the Indiana Pacers to move Doug McDermott to Indiana in exchange for Marcus Morris Sr., who's getting moved from Philly to Indiana, and then also a 2029 second round draft pick from the Clippers and cash as well for Doug. So again, this trade, as I'm recording this now at 2:37 Mountain Time, this trade isn't actually official yet. The Spurs haven't sent out their press release. I'm waiting for that to happen. If it happens, I will, while I'm recording, I have my phone by my side, so I'll definitely read whatever details the Spurs put out. So this is just based on various reports of the draft pick details. So again, it's a 2029 second round pick from the Clippers that Philly's getting from Indiana. Yeah, or Indiana's getting from Philly. Anyway, so salary wise, this works. Marcus Morris's salary was 13% of the cap. Doug's salary was 10% of the cap, and so that works out just well for both teams. And now, where does it put the Spurs for the remainder of this season? It puts them $4.4 million over the salary cap. Shams Charania of The Athletic and also Jeff McDonald of the San Antonio Express News both reported that the Spurs may not keep Morris on the books for the remainder of the season. They may either look at a buyout for him or just waive him flat with his, I think it's like $17 million contract, so that he can go, you know, go sign with a playoff level contender. And obviously, you know, the Spurs, you know, they're more so in that developmental phase. They're not looking to add any kind of veterans to their team. So this makes sense why they're going to probably waive Morris. He may not be a Spur for long, Marcus Morris Sr. Now, we do want to note, though, that that March 1st, in a few weeks here, is the playoff eligibility deadline. So any veteran player that wants to sign with a playoff level team, they need to be waived by their current club by 2 days before that deadline. So I think it's like February 27th, February 28th, somewhere around there. Now, just some notable players that the Spurs were reportedly interested in. DeJounte Murray ended up staying with Atlanta, you know, right before the deadline. The Hawks had, you know, told, I guess, the media that you know, they're going to keep DeJounte past this deadline. Tyus Jones, who the Spurs were interested in, who plays with the Wizards. The Wizards reportedly wanted a first round pick. It looks like they didn't get any good offers for Jones, and so they ended up holding on to Jones past this deadline. That's a little tricky for them because he is going to be an unrestricted free agent this coming summer. And then regarding the Spurs, their other veteran players, you know, Jetty Osman for now continues to remain on the team, and so does Devontae Graham. And so just looking at Jetty and Graham, like I mentioned, there's about 2 or 3 weeks for the Spurs to decide if they're going to keep these players on the roster up until the end of the season or seek a buyout or just waive them so that they can go sign with the playoff level team. I just don't think right now that Jetty would be a player that they want to move. Again, if they weren't able to move him on at the trade deadline, he's been a key part of their team. He's gotten a lot of heavy minutes off the bench with San Antonio. He's really fit in. And so I think Jetty will probably end up making it all the way to the end of the season. And then regarding Devontae, normally I would say yes, you know, they would just buy him out because, again, you know, he hasn't played at all, really. He's only got spot minutes whenever it's kind of a blowout. But the reason why they may still hold on to him up until the end of the season is because he still has a partial guarantee on his contract for next season. I don't remember the date that it is. It's either in late June or early July. And so basically they may want to hold on to Devontae up until the end of the season. Then when teams are, you know, once the playoffs start, teams that are out of the playoffs, like the Spurs will be, they can start making some more trades before the draft comes or around draft time. And so maybe they might hold on to Graham just to see, maybe there's someone out there that wants to take on his contract right before they have to waive him in either late June or early July. So that's why I could see both Jetty and Devontae staying on the team up until the end of the season. But again, if they want to give those players their chance to go try to win a ring or go sign with the playoff level team, then maybe they do pursue a buyout with either of those players in these next 2 or 3 weeks, or just waive them flat out, and that way those players can become unrestricted free agents and end up signing with the playoff level team. So again, Doug was the player that got moved, and the Spurs likely are opening up a roster spot by waiving or buying out Marcus Morris's contract. So now the next question that comes to mind is, you know, if the Spurs do indeed waive Morris, that's going to open up a roster spot. And so what are they planning to do with that roster spot for the remainder of the season? So there's a few options here that they have. One of the players that a lot of Spurs fans are excited for, if the Spurs have interest, again, I haven't seen any substantial reporting that the Spurs have any interest in this player, is that on Thursday before the deadline ended, the Detroit Pistons, there was reported that they are going to waive Killian Hayes. Now, he hasn't officially been waived yet, but again, we do expect that to happen. So if Hayes gets waived, let's just say the Spurs had interest in him, here are the ways that they could try to acquire him or add him to the team. So for those 48 hours that Hayes would enter waivers, the Spurs, from the research that I've done, they cannot add him to the team by claiming him off waivers. And here's the reason why. His contract is too much. It's at $7.4 million right now. And the Spurs, they do have a disabled player exception of $1.3 million for Charles Bassey's injury. But again, that's not enough to claim him into that waiver at $1.3 million, $7.4 versus $1.3 million. The Spurs also have the $7.7 room exception available, which that could absorb Hayes's contract, but that new rule and the new CBA doesn't begin, I think, until year 2 or 3 of the new CBA. So again, right now we're still using a lot of these old CBA rules, and so they wouldn't be able to claim, just looking at the research that I've done quickly, they wouldn't be able to claim Hayes off waivers in those first 48 hours. So basically, if the Spurs want Hayes, they have to hope that no teams claim him off waivers before he can become a free agent after 2 days. So now let's say that Hayes does clear waivers and he's a free agent, then the Spurs have a better chance of trying to sign him if he has interest and if the Spurs have interest in getting together. So the way this would happen is the Spurs have up to that $7.7 million to basically compete with a lot of teams. You know, Hayes is a young player who obviously it didn't work out for him in Detroit. He is going to be an unrestricted free agent this coming off season. And so, you know, a lot of young teams like the Spurs, rebuilding teams, might want to give him a chance for those last, you know, 30 plus games of the season, just to see, you know, can he be an option for them at the point or backup point or as a wing. And so if the Spurs are there, you know, do have interest, then they might be competing with some other rebuilding type teams if they want to try to take a run at Hayes. And so for Hayes, this is for him and his agent, this is actually a good thing because basically it drives up his market, where normally he might just get the veteran minimum, but instead he might actually be able to drive up the price in terms of teams that want to sign him. So again, the Spurs have up to $7.7 million of their room exception available if they do have to get in kind of like a bidding war to try to sign Hayes if they do have interest.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check.
Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Now, another player that the Spurs might look at if they do up an open roster spot is one of their own players, Dominic Barlow. We know that he's on a two-way contract. Now that Zach Collins is healthy again, we have seen that Barlow's gone back to just got kind of being on the, away from the team with the G League because, you know, the Spurs can only go up to 50 games of having him on the active roster, so they don't want to push past that deadline. So he's had to sit out games lately ever since Zach got healthy. And so again, if they want to convert Barlow's salary to a full roster spot once they waive Morris, then that is also an option because again they have up to that $7.7 million. It wouldn't take that much to sign Barlow. They could give, you know, they could go over like $3 or $4 million, try to see if they can get like a multi-year deal, or even just the veteran minimum for like a two-year deal. And then another way that, let's just say that the Spurs could, if they wanted to both add Hayes and add Barlow on a full contract, is this would be the route they would have to do that. They would have to sign Hayes using part of that $7.7 million MLE, or they could use the $1.3 million disabled player exception that they got for Charles Bassey. So that would be one way to add either Hayes to the group, to the team. Then because that disabled player exception is there, the Spurs basically have another open roster spot only if that player is fit into the disabled player exception of $1.3 million. So there they could either, you know, convert Barlow's contract. I don't know specifically if you can convert a two-way into a DPE using a DPE, or what they could just do is waive Barlow and then sign him with that $1.3 million in the disabled player exception that is less than his veteran minimum. So again, there's some ways that the Spurs can maneuver this. If they wanted to both add Killian Hayes and Dominic Barlow to full roster spots, there is a way for them to do that. And just regarding Killian Hayes, how he's done with the Pistons this year before getting waived. He's played in 42 games for Detroit. He's averaged 6.9 points. His shooting numbers are pretty rough here. 41% from the floor, 30% from three, 66% from the foul line, 2.8 rebounds. What he's mainly known for is creativity and passing the ball. So he's averaging 4.9 assists to 1.2 turnovers, almost a steal per game, 0.9 steals per game, and 0.5 blocks in just 24 minutes. And he is a taller player for that point guard position at 6'5". So again, we'll kind of see now going forward. This is the kind of the next thing to watch is who do the Spurs waive any of their own veteran players and you know, allow those players to go on to playoff teams, or do they try to go, explore the buyout market and try to get, you know, Killian Hayes or just even some of those other free agents that are going to be available, because there are going to be a number of free agents that are going to be joining unrestricted free agency. And look right here, Woj just tweeted that the Pacers are waiving Corey Joseph. Again, I don't think Corey Joseph is coming back to the Spurs, but you know, again, there's just a lot of different players entering the buyout market right now. All right, so now that we've gone through the trade the Spurs made, the options they have going for this for the remainder of this season, let's just talk about some early look aheads to the off season. Whenever the season does officially end and June and July get closer with the draft and free agency. So right now, based on this move of moving Doug and Morris, it doesn't really affect the Spurs' cap situation for this coming off season, because Morris was going to be an unrestricted free agent just like Doug was. So they were kind of in the same boat there. So basically where the Spurs stand going into June, into July in free agency, they do project right now to have anywhere from like low $17 million if they get the Raptors pick at number seven, or high of $23 million in cap space if they don't get the Raptors pick. Let's say that the Raptors bottom out and they end up with a top six pick, then they get to keep their own pick, which means it gives the Spurs more cap space, so the Spurs could have up to $23 million. One thing that Mike Finger of the San Antonio Express News reported was he kind of just did a quick tally of the Spurs' draft pick situation after they made this move with sending Doug to Indiana and getting back a second-round pick. Mike reports here that the Spurs project to have 32 picks in the next 7 years. And the way that works is that they would have 11 first round picks and 21 seconds if the Charlotte pick doesn't convey, or possibly 12 first and 19 seconds if they get to keep the Hornets' pick. But again, right now, as I mentioned on the last Spurs cast, it doesn't look like that pick will convey in the next 2 years because Charlotte is a bad team and they look like they're going to probably keep that pick. So again, Spurs have a lot of assets, draft assets going forward in these next few years as the team starts to get better down the line and they start to become that championship level team with Wemby there to guide them. They're in a good situation to add talent to the team, whether it's this offseason or in the future years, just because they have so many, they've stockpiled all of these picks. And that's what some of these rebuilding teams that are going to want, or not rebuilding, but decent teams right now who might be wanting to unload some of their good players down the road. If it doesn't look like they're going to be championship contenders, they want to start retooling and rebuilding. The Spurs are going to be one of those partners now that they look at going forward. And so just looking at three of the players that the Spurs might've missed out on this trade deadline, DeJounte Murray, obviously we know that the Spurs had interest. They can still go after him in the offseason. That there's no problem with San Antonio trying to pursue him in the offseason. We do know that his four-year extension does kick in now beginning in June. I think it's like at 24 28 million, somewhere around there. So DeJounte's extension does kick in, so the price to acquire him is going to be a little bit more in terms of salary. But again, regarding draft assets, the Spurs have deals have enough to make a deal with Atlanta. And then even if the Spurs wanted to get really interesting here in the offseason, I know a player that it's been written about, but again, there's been no reporting that the Spurs want this player, is Trae Young. I mean, maybe the Spurs don't even go after DeJounte. Maybe in the summer they try to go after Trae Young. Again, they're in very good position to do that. They have some movable contracts that are close to Young makes $40 million the season. So the Spurs have a few players who are close to $20 million. So again, if you can put like one player plus use your cap space to get Young, or use like two players making close to $20 million and try to get Young plus all the picks that the Spurs have. Again, if Atlanta wants to go more so in a rebuilding mode after they finish this season out, if it doesn't go well for them and they look at Trae Young offers, if they want to try to move him again, the Spurs are one of those teams. If they have interest, they can put a really good package together for Trae Young if that's the case. And then even if the Spurs don't go for like a splashy move like DeJounte or Trae Young, there's also still Tyus Jones available because again, the Wizards didn't move him. He is going to be an unrestricted free agent this coming summer. And the Spurs have multiple ways that they could try to pursue Tyus Jones if they really wanted to pursue him, try to sign him. They could either use the room MLE that they're going to have this coming summer, or all that cap space that they have, that 17 to like 23 million. They could try to find a decent range there for Tyus Jones if they want him. And then something that was reported on Thursday morning by Michael Scotto of Hoops Hype was that he reported that both Trey and Tyus, current Spurs Trey and Wizards Tyus Jones, they've actually discussed, according to his reporting, the idea of one day playing together. Again, maybe not this season, but at some point down the line, they do want to be on the same team together. So again, if Tyus wanted to come to Spurs, and we know now that the Spurs had interest in him, then again, they could possibly San Antonio could definitely pursue him this offseason, try to add him to the team while possibly still keeping Trey Jones there. So they could have a Trey Jones and Tyus Jones either starting and backcourt there for the Spurs if they wanted more so take that slower approach to rebuilding rather than going for the more aggressive approach and maybe going after a guy like Trey Young or DeJounte Murray. All right, so that kind of wraps up the Spurs' trade moves. Again, I'm recording this episode now. It's 2:51 Mountain Time. I haven't seen the Doug McDermott trade made official yet. Again, it will be made official at some point, but I wanted to have that happen during the recording so I could have the latest details. And there hasn't been any mention yet if the Spurs intend to either buy out Doug McDermott or Jetty Osmond's contracts. So again, we'll kind of see what happens now in the next few days as the next thing to watch now is that playoff eligibility deadline on March 1st. Not because the Spurs are going to make the playoffs, but because, again, some of their veteran players might get released and then they can go join a playoff level team. All right, so thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Spurs Cast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube and your favorite podcast apps. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Paul Garcia. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.